Good evening, everyone. If you would, take out a Bible and turn over to Genesis chapter 22. That will be the basis for our study this evening as we consider the faith of Abraham. I appreciate Darren for leading those songs this evening, focusing our minds all on faith and trusting in God and in Jesus Christ, because faith is instrumental to our entire lives as Christians. It is one of the most prominent themes that we see in the Bible. The importance of faith is put on display throughout its entirety. It is woven through nearly every story that we see in Scripture. We are given commands to have faith. In fact, we are told in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we recognize from this verse that faith is not optional. It is non-negotiable. And if we expect to come to God, then we must believe in him. We must have faith in him. We cannot be well-pleasing to God if we cannot come to believe in him. And it's more than just belief. It is putting the entirety of our trust in him. It is putting our lives in his hands, recognizing that he will see us through, recognizing that I can go with him without any doubting, without any worrying that he's going to steer me in the wrong direction. That's why we're all here today. All of us either believe in God, have that trust in him, or maybe you're here tonight and want to learn more about him so you can have that faith in him and believe in him. We are expected to have true faith in him. What does that true faith look like, we must ask? First of all, it is believing in God, as we've addressed. And it is, like we said, putting all that trust in him. Second, it is believing that his word is true and then acting on it. A lot of the world today seems to forget that part. If they have faith to begin with, that's it. They don't act on it because they think that faith is it. Too many people are told that all you have to do is believe. That's not true, brethren. We must act upon that belief. And third, growing in that faith. Every day is another day to grow our faith more deeper with the Lord. And I believe we do that by repeating the first two steps. Remembering our belief in God. Remembering our trust in him. Continuing to act upon that. That's how we grow. And that's a beautiful cycle, as we'll come to see. And we want to consider for this evening Abraham, who in Genesis chapter 22 was given a very difficult command from God. But what did Abraham do? First of all, he did not doubt in God. Instead, he trusted him and was willing to go through with it, putting all of his faith in him. So let's turn back to Genesis chapter 22, and let's start with the first two verses, because this is where the difficult command is listed. Genesis chapter 22, let's read the first two verses. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham was given this command to go and sacrifice Isaac. What a strange command given by God here. Given all that they had to go through just so that Isaac would be born. Because remember, Abraham and Sarah, they had great difficulty. But we'll talk about that more in just a minute. You know, a lot of people, when they first come to this passage, they will see the strangeness of this command. Because especially if you read ahead, there are times where other people are condemned by God because of the fact that they offered their children to idols. God disdained them. But we recognize that God wasn't actually wanting Isaac to be sacrificed, but we see in the first verse here, God was testing Abraham's faith. Up until this point, Abraham had proved himself to be very faithful. His faith is woven through almost all of his stories up until this point. And we'll make references to some that are relevant to this part of Abraham's life. But now came the ultimate test of faith, in which Abraham was told to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God. All of this happening after Isaac's difficult arrival. And what do we mean by that? Well, consider previous points in Abraham's life. Abraham and Sarah were unable to have children for the longest time. They were without children. Abraham had no heir. As we look into Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 to 3, Abraham speaks with God. And it almost sounds like he's complaining because he has no heir. That his entirety of his inheritance is going to go to another relative. Look in Genesis 15, verses 2 and 3. He speaks with God, and he's still called Abram at the time. But he said to him, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." Having children was important to all in those days. And so Abraham wanted children, just as much as anyone else. So God replied, verses 4 and 5, by saying, "Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" You know, ever since God spoke to Abraham, he has promised a son. And not only that his descendants would be innumerable, that they would be like the stars in the sky, like the sands on the seashore, completely innumerable, only numerable by God. In fact, later on, both Abraham and Sarah would laugh at this, because this was a hard command to believe. This was a hard promise to believe. So later on, when God promised it again, that this is going to happen, Abraham and Sarah laughed. We recognize the great difficulty for many years because of this longing for his son. And now that he had one, Abraham was told to go and sacrifice him. After all of that, told to go and sacrifice. How does Abraham respond to this? Does he barter with God? Does he ask God to give him a different command to do? Verses 3 through 5 in Genesis chapter 22, what does it say? "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" Ultimately, Abraham didn't put up a fight. He did not argue with God. He did not doubt why he was about to go do what he was about to go do. He simply gathered everything he needed: the wood, the fire, his son and his servants, and he went to the mountain. In this moment, he proved himself obedient to God, despite the fact that this was probably one of the most difficult commands ever given to a man, to go and to sacrifice their son. Abraham had been faithful to God up until this point. He had seen the blessings of God firsthand. We may come to think that maybe he didn't fully understand the commandment. But probably the most interesting thing that came about from this was what he told his men when he and Isaac went to the mountain alone without them. He told them, "We will come back to you. We will come back to you." An interesting thing to say for someone about to go off and to sacrifice their son. Despite what God had commanded, he had fully believed that both him and Isaac would come back alive together. If you have not read ahead in your Bibles, you may be wondering what on earth is going on in Abraham's head. That not only he's going through with this, but also he says that both will return. Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. First, we see the sacrifice that was about to take place when suddenly it was stopped before it was fulfilled. Looking at verses 16 through 14, we'll go ahead and read all of this together just to see the full story here. Verses 6 through 14. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." There are three things we can take away from this. First of all, we see that God intervenes before Isaac is actually killed, sending an angel to halt Abraham before dealing the killing blow. We know that God didn't actually want Isaac to die, because remember, from the beginning of this chapter, we see that God was putting Abraham to the test. He did not want Isaac to really be killed. He was putting his servant to the test. Isaac did not need to die. God had seen everything he needed to see here now at this point, and therefore spares Isaac's life. Secondly, we see that God provided a lamb for them to sacrifice in Isaac's place. Another point to Abraham's faith was that on the way to the mountain, when Isaac had asked, "Where is the sacrificial lamb?" he responded to his son by saying, "The Lord will provide." Now, you could say that Abraham was probably trying to calm Isaac's nerves. Maybe Isaac had got a little suspicious as to what was actually about to happen, noticing that there was no sacrificial lamb. But the truth is that because of Abraham's faith, he really did believe that God would provide a lamb for them to sacrifice. That one way or another, Abraham and Isaac would both leave there alive. Both of them would be present for this offering to the Lord. Both of them would go home together alive through God. Third, we recognize that through everything that Abraham did, he proved himself faithful to God. You know, I can only imagine, because I'm not a parent, but many of you are. How many of us would react differently than Abraham if given this same command by God? I can only imagine I would hesitate, maybe try to barter with God for the kid's life. But in Abraham's case, he was not only required to sacrifice a son, but his only son. How much worse could that get? How could any of us go through with that if the Lord asked that of us? I imagine for many of us, it'd be very hard. But as we saw with Abraham, there was no hesitation with him. He gathered everything he needed, and he went to obey. Again, the fact that Abraham had come this far with the intent of obeying God, God saw everything he needed to see. Abraham proving himself and proving his faith in this moment. Now we see the blessing given to Abraham by God in this moment. In verses 15 through 19 of Genesis chapter 22, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.' So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose together and went to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." You look all the way back to when God first called Abraham out of his homeland, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. He did so with the intention of giving these promises to him. Two of these three promises here seen in this chapter, in Genesis chapter 22. Once again reiterating that God will keep his promises. First we see in verse 17, God says, "I will multiply your descendants." He compares the descendants that Abraham was going to have to the sand of the seas, by the seashore, to the stars in the sky. The point God's trying to make is, given both of the analogies here, is that the descendants who are going to become coming from Abraham are not going to be able to be numbered by men. Think about what Abraham was thinking, hearing that. First, he went all these years of his life without a child. And then he was finally given one. And then he's told by God, "How about I give you many more descendants? How about I fill the earth with your descendants?" Isn't that amazing? To trust in God to that degree. And so God promised him that his descendants would be like these, innumerable. God gave this promise to him because of his faith in him. Second, in verse 18, God says that in Abraham, his seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Although Abraham probably didn't know it then, we know it now because we have the full Bible before us. And we're able to look back at this verse and fully appreciate this promise given to somebody so long before this promise was fulfilled, and even further beyond where we are here now on the timeline. Because as we recognize throughout the greater theme of Scripture, this seed in question is talking about Jesus Christ. And the blessing in question that we are all subject to is the salvation of our sins, the ability to be freed from our sins and to go to heaven. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, dealing with the issues in Galatia, one of those issues being those Judaizing teachers trying to segregate the Gentiles. What does he say? Verses 8 and 9 of Galatians chapter 3. "The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Abraham was one of the first to know that down the line, all the world would be blessed through the one who would come in his lineage. I wonder just how much he realized the importance of what God is telling him here in this moment. Maybe part of him did, because as we can see, he had great faith in God. He had great faith that he would fulfill his promises that he made to him. When you look at Hebrews, and it tells us of how these who died in faith saw the promises afar off, confessing that they were pilgrims on earth, confessing that God was greater, that he would keep his promises. Now look in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. We brought up earlier, what on earth was Abraham thinking going through with this? Here it is. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. The Hebrew writer records the thought process that Abraham had. It says, verse 17, beginning, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him from the dead, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So full of faith, Abraham believed in God and trusted in him to this degree that even if he did land that killing blow, God was able to raise him from the dead. That's the faith of Abraham right there. This passage in Hebrews reveals so much of how deep Abraham's faith ran. He believed that even if God allowed him to kill his son, God would be able to raise him from the dead. Matter of fact, as the passage reads, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. He was already dead in his mind because he didn't know he was being tested. He was simply acting on faith in God, knowing that God was greater, knowing that God could bring Isaac back. So we see the volumes that this speaks to Abraham's faith. He knew that God could do anything. Do we believe that? Maybe we do. Maybe we doubt. But there should be no doubt, and because we have the full account here in Scripture showing us that God really can do anything. And if we do not doubt and truly have faith in Him, do we act on that faith? The thing about faith that we all need to understand is that faith comes with action, just like with Abraham. Abraham had great faith in God. He had seen the great things that God had done in his lifetime. He had been a part of this great plan that God had to bring Jesus into the world. But what was the point of Abraham's faith if he did not act upon it? Consider what is said in James chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. James chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. James writes, saying, But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. James uses Abraham as an example of faith, great faith in action. Abraham acted on his faith. He believed in God through and through. That's the faith of Abraham right there. He showed his faith over and over. But at this moment that we read in Genesis chapter 22, that was the ultimate test of faith. That was the culminating story. That was, you could argue, his faith at his highest. But he still lived further on after this. You can imagine that he continued growing in faith until he died and faith became sight. Which brings us to this third point. You look at the full story of Abraham. We see his faith in God from the very beginning. When God first asked him to leave his own land and go and live in a tent in a land that would not be his, but would go to his descendants someday. We see his faith in God when he goes into battle. We see his faith in God when God first promised that Isaac would be born to him and Sarah. Scripture says that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Sure, he did laugh at first, but he did believe. Deep down, he really did. Thing about these is that Abraham believed in God when God offered him promises. However, what we see here in Genesis chapter 22, what just happened, Abraham trusted in God even when he thought he was about to sacrifice his own son. Even when he thought he was about to give up the thing that he's prayed for all his life, the thing that he's fought for all his life, the thing that meant the most to him, his own son. His faith grew from simply believing promises to being willing to go to the limit for God. That's the whole point of this test. Now, looking at Abraham's story, this should call for self-examination. So let's consider a few questions as we close this study. First of all, let's consider, do we fully trust in God? That is the most important question, because it all starts with this. If we don't trust in God, our faith is useless. If we doubt God, our faith is useless. I know we all have our moments. Moments where it feels like nothing's going our way. Moments where we feel like everything is crashing down all upon us all at the same time. But guess what, brother? God is greater than all that. That is what we keep saying, and it is true. God is greater than everything that is on this earth. So when we put our trust in Him, we know that He will see us through. We may not always know what that would look like. It may not always happen how we expect it to. And it may not always be what we want. But if we fully trust in Him, then we have full assurance that, first of all, He can do anything, and second, He'll be with us so that we can endure anything. Second, are we willing to put our faith in action, just as Abraham did? Granted, we may not be asked to do the same thing that Abraham did, and we should be thankful for that. But we are given difficult commands in our lives, or at least commands we may find difficult to fulfill sometimes. God asks us to do some things that we may feel is hard for us personally, like loving our enemies, like forgiving one another when another wrongs us, like preaching the gospel to other people when we have opportunity to do so. But our faith in God is proven when we are willing to put our faith into action, pushing our own boundaries and getting out of our comfort zone and doing what the Lord has asked of us. Third, are we growing our faith? You know, we did a study a while back of how Jesus dealt with little faith. But He told us that if your faith is like a mustard seed, which starts out like this. You see the space between my fingers? Because I barely can. That's the size of a mustard seed. Plant that in the ground, what do you get? Big old tree. That is what God expects of our faith. Again, if you look at the full life of Abraham, you see many faithful moments. Each moment being greater and more faithful than the last. Coming down to this very moment in Genesis 22 that we read. Faith of Abraham should inspire us to grow more and more in our faith towards God. And as we alluded to in the introduction, if we do the first two, if we trust in God and put more faith into action, then our faith will grow all the more. And like we said, that is a beautiful cycle. And that's a weird thing to say, because a lot of times when you hear that word cycle, it's a negative sense. Negative cycles. But this is a great cycle. This is a positive cycle. The cycle of faith is a beautiful one that will bring us closer to God every day of our lives. So we must participate in that. We must participate in fully trusting in God. We must participate in putting our faith in action. And we must grow every day. God has given us these stories in Scripture, like Abraham's, so that those of them who have done extraordinary things, we can look to those things. We can look at them. And, you know, sometimes we may look and we feel like we can never live up to that. But rather, brethren, these stories are given to us so that we can find inspiration in them. Because we need that inspiration in our walks of life. Abraham's story is one of great faith, and that should inspire great faith within us. We need faith. The world wants to tear us down and wants us to lose our faith. It is in these dark times that we need faith all the more. We know that God is there. We know that He sees all of us and what we're dealing with. And we know that He is there for us. We know that God gives us strength in times of need. We know that He gives comfort in times of need. And we know that He guides us throughout the days of our lives. So put all of your faith in Him. As much as you can put and more. And continue growing in that. Never stop growing your faith. Abraham's faith never stopped growing. And only ended on the day that he died. And faith was made sight. When he got to go home and see the Lord. We must go every single day of our lives with this faith until that faith becomes sight. And we will be rewarded if we diligently seek Him. We are given this promise in Scripture. Are you seeking the Lord here and now tonight? If you're here tonight as a Christian and you're wanting to find God, He is here and He wants you to come to Him. If you've heard the word here tonight, or in the past and have come to believe on it, you can now act upon that belief. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized. Washed to free of your sins. Raised to walk a new life before God as His child. A faithful walk in Him, with Him. Or if you're here tonight as a Christian and you have sin in your life, make that right with God tonight. Repent of your sins. Go to Him in prayer. Confess those things to Him. And He will forgive you of those things. Or if you need to confess before the brethren here tonight, we will not meet you with judgment. We will be there for you. We will pray with you. And we'll pray for you. And we'll lift each other up, because that's what we're supposed to do in our faithful walk of life. Make your life right with God tonight, because we do not know if we have tomorrow. If you're subject to the invitation or need the prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come as we stand and we sing.